This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And good morning, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. I knew it was going to get better. I knew that we were going to get better matchups in the second round of the playoffs in the NBA. And I was right. We're getting a series now with the Rockets and Golden State after Houston took game four to even it up at two games apiece. Now, this is a series in which the home team has won their games. So now we're going back to Oakland for game five of that series. And something's going to have to break for the Rockets in Oakland in order to win this series. But at least that series is now tied at two. The games have been competitive. The series have been competitive. The best one is Portland and Denver. That is also evened up at two with game five tonight in Denver. That has been a well played series. I mean, the four overtime game in game three and an excellent game four. The one series that hasn't really been panned out in terms of its competitiveness now is Milwaukee and Boston. The Celtics laid an egg last night. They can't shoot. Kyrie Irving wasn't that great. Their defense that was so dominant in game one has basically disappeared, and the Bucks have a commanding 3-1 lead in the series. But nevertheless, this is what you get when you sort of eliminate some of the bottom tier teams. The NBA doesn't have the kind of depth to go eight deep in both conferences. You know, you might get an upset, and it's kind of cool when you do, but the reality of it is if you can get some of the top teams into the second round, you're supposed to get better and more competitive series, and that's what we have. You know, in the NHL, they sort of are excited that all these younger teams, bottom tier teams, made big upsets in the first round, and it's a wide open, anybody can win the Stanley Cup kind of feel. That's great, good for them, and that's kind of a nice storyline. But in the NBA, we wanted the top tier teams to advance. We wanted the top tier teams to sort of get into these competitive series, these 1-4, 2-3s kind of matchups. And it's producing some fruit. I mean, three of the series right now are tied at two. Boston should have been better in their series against Milwaukee. I have absolutely no idea outside of the poor shooting why it has collapsed on them convincingly. But overall, this has been, again, a more competitive second game. We'll detail last night, Rockets and Warriors, Bucks, Celtics. Also talk about Kevin Durant and the possibility of him going elsewhere, which is likely to happen, but could he stay with Golden State and do the numbers make sense? We'll talk about that coming up next, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us, SB Nation Radio. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, please. So the Milwaukee Bucks now have a commanding 3-1 lead over Boston. The Celtics, it has been a 180-degree turnaround from what they did in game one. After game one, I looked at the Celtics so differently. I mean, they cruised through Indiana, their opening playoff series, but I knew that they were going to get a very good Milwaukee team. Right, we all know about Giannis, but the way Budenholzer has built the Bucks, you know, I knew that that would be a tough task for the Celtics. And they dominated Milwaukee in game one to a point where I thought, okay, This Celtics team has figured it out. All of the drama during the regular season, all of the Kyrie saying, hey, hold on, wait a minute, no, we're not in trouble, yes, we are, wait a minute, no, we're not. All of that was just, I thought, erased, right? Get the game on the road, get home court advantage in the series that you're going to need against the number one seed and a guy that is a legit MVP candidate. Get that taken care of. Show some defensive prowess like they did, and get this series. You probably might take, you know, it might take six, might take seven, but you have an edge in the series because A, you took game one, and two, you found a defensive answer to slowing Milwaukee down. That's all gone. That's not only all gone, it's as if it never happened. based on the way they've played since halftime of game two. Now, credit Milwaukee, right? Brilliant mind. Budenholzer was a good coach in Atlanta. Now he's a better coach in Milwaukee. And a lot of it is because of players, and a lot of it is because of the players that are around Giannis. One of the things about Milwaukee over the years is building players around Giannis. Their bench players are keep this thing afloat for Milwaukee. Giannis does his thing, and he was fantastic last night. He was destroying Boston in the paint. It was insane. But the bench players for Milwaukee, and Brad Stevens talked about this at the end of the game, the bench players for Milwaukee, keep them in check and keep them rolling along. There's no dip. It doesn't matter if they're playing against Boston starters or not. There's no dip to their production. They just keep rolling along. And this is where Boston, who can't shoot, right? Or Jason Tatum is struggling. Al Horford is struggling. Kyrie is struggling. They're all struggling. They can't shoot. And now Milwaukee is a game away from eliminating the pest that has been bothering them like a fly buzzing around their head in the Boston Celtics. Well, so what was before a very dangerous Celtics team that, we play some defense now, look out, now has been reduced to can't hit the basket, can't score, disastrous runs that they give up to Milwaukee anytime they try to even get back into the game, and now they're a game away from elimination. Now, flip side on this is the Rockets, because last night, and I have to admit something. I watched this game, but I flipped back and forth. I was watching the Avalanche and the Sharks, Game 6, and I don't normally watch NHL, and I watch some of the important things. I'm getting captivated with the Avalanche, so I was flipping back and forth. But listen, the Houston game is simple. The Rockets win at home. The Warriors are having trouble. Steph Curry's having trouble shooting. He was better last night than he was in Game 3. Kevin Durant was fantastic. But other than that, they need Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. But here's the interesting thing about this series. It's tied at 2, and now the Rockets have made it a best 2 out of 3 with Oakland getting 2 games out of that series, right? Because the home teams have won all 4 of the games. But if you're Golden State, how can you leave the Toyota Center massively discouraged about this series when you know that you're in these games despite horrible shooting by the two guys or at least one of the guys in Steph Curry? When he turns it around and they start knocking down shots, especially from behind the arc, they'll win these games. I mean, listen, not to take anything away from Houston. It's great to hold home court, and it's great to get back in a series and give us now a competitive semifinals in the West that we wanted as the Western Conference Finals, because now we've got 2-2, heading into Oakland with, again, as I said, best 2 out of 3. But if you're Golden State, you need Steph Curry to get back on track. And if you get Steph Curry back on track, you're going to win these games. You're going to win these games. So I wouldn't be all discouraged if I'm Golden State that the Rockets have somehow figured it out or whatnot. And the Warriors were 24% from behind the arc. That's because Steph Curry is struggling from that part. Steph Curry was only 4 of 14 last night. And Klay Thompson was 1 for 6. That's 5 for 20 between the Splash Brothers. All right, they knocked down a couple of more, and they don't even have to go 11 for 20 or anything ridiculous like that. They knocked down a couple of more. They're back in this. Anytime Golden State made a run to try to get this game against the Rockets, at one point Houston led by 17. Anytime Golden State made a run, they would miss a critical shot that would be a rebound by the Rockets, and that was it. The Rockets would come back, convert the bucket, and that would be it. So, this series was the one we pointed to and wanted because of what happened last year. Is it the best played game, games? No, they're not. They're not the best played games. But the reality of it is, this is the kind of competitive you want. If it's sloppy, I don't care. If it's well played, I don't care. It's competitive now. It's now at a point where two of these excellent basketball teams are going at each other to a point where I want to see this go 7. I hope it goes 7. Now, as for Durant, another fantastic night for him, 34 points. He was 12 of 22 from the floor. Durant is becoming the alpha male on this Warriors team. He's becoming the guy on the Golden State Warriors. He's becoming the guy on Steph's team. He's becoming the guy on Steph and Klay's team. Right? Durant is the centerpiece of what the Warriors are doing. But they need Curry and Thompson. That's their bread and butter. You hope that they come around if you're Golden State. You hope that they go home and maybe find something there to get. But right now, Kevin Durant hasn't done anything wrong, anything to hurt the Warriors in these last two games, and the whole series, that matter. But Klay and Steph certainly have. Game 3 was absolutely atrocious for Steph Curry. And while he was better in this game, scoring 30 points, he really still, for the most part, struggled in his area of excellence, which is behind the arc and three-point shooting. But give it to the Rockets. You got to hold home court. You can't let the Warriors go back up 3-1, and they held, and now it's 2-2, and now open up the floodgates. The best series in my mind so far in these four playoff series in the NBA is Portland and Denver, and it may not be getting the kind of attention it deserves. You know, we'll all kind of buzz about a four overtime game, but that's a Friday night. I mean, how much of the rest of America on the East Coast either A, stayed up for it, B, bothered to watch it on a Friday night heading into a weekend? But it was a well played game. Game 4 was even better. This is a very competitive series. It's fun to watch. A lot of good star power in the series, if you will, of some excellent play. It's probably the most competitive series of the four, because you don't have situations like in Philadelphia, well, if Joel Embiid is healthy, they should win this game, et cetera, et cetera. You don't say that about Portland and Denver, right? Jokic has a triple-double, or Jamal Murray scores 30 points, or Damian Lillard gets this many points, or however you want to parcel it out. It's probably the most competitive series that we have of the four. So as I said at the top of the hour, it's getting better, right? We expected it to get better because we've weeded out some of the bottom teams in the NBA. The teams that just don't have enough juice to make even a second round series competitive. Those teams are gone. They had their fun in the first round. Now we're getting the top tier teams, and the top tier teams that are in the West and the East are producing excellent series so far. Boston, I'd like to see them step up a bit. Otherwise, they're going to be made quick work of. And that Boston slam is now out the window. Milwaukee's not losing this series. Boston might make it interesting. They still can, but they're not going to lose this series. So the Boston slam might be done. Bruins could win the cup. That's a very possibility. I think it just took down Columbus and moved on to the final of the Eastern Conference. So the Bruins can still win the cup. So 3 out of 4 ain't bad for the Boston folks. All right, coming up next, let's get to Durant a little bit and the possibility of Durant staying in Golden State. Do the numbers add up for Kevin Durant to realize what I've been saying, that he is now the centerpiece of the Warriors' success? And would that entice him enough to stay? We'll look at the numbers a little bit and see if that's a possibility, or could he just be heading to New York anyway? That's next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, doing a repair that needs a special tool? O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available, and they're sure to have a tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed parts and put down a deposit on the loaner tool. Return the tool in the original condition. Receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I had a piece of cold pizza for breakfast, and now that's not sitting right. And I love cold pizza. I love cold pizza.
Need some Tums, don't you?
Yeah, now it's not sitting right. I don't know why. And the pizza we get from our town is great cold. In fact, I could order a whole pie and let it sit and eat it that way. It reminds me a lot of New York pizza when you sit it down and it gets cold. It's better that way. This is just not sitting right with me today. I don't know. Not to bore you with my indigestion problems, but I mean, it's the way I'm going this morning. I'm rolling along. So pizza last night, hockey. I got so into that hockey game last night, that Avalanche Sharks game, Game 6. I was so into it. I don't know why I was into it. Again, I lived in Denver for 10 years, and I didn't give much thought to the Avs. I mean, when they were in the playoffs, I was into them, but they weren't my thing. But I am into this team for whatever reason. So I was flipping back and forth. They had the Rockets game on. They had that game on. I was like, ugh. In a couple of hours, I'm going to be doing this radio show.
But that's always the case with, unfortunately for the NHL, we don't need a regular season for them.
No, they're proving it that all you got to do is just get into this thing, and it's all everybody's got a chance. Everybody roll up, and
you get a cup, and you get a cup.
God, Boston just eliminated Columbus in 4-2. They just took care of the Blue Jackets. Now they're on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Listen, they're the best team of the teams that are left in terms of numbers, just like points and, you know, how they play during the regular season. Now, that doesn't mean anything, as we found out in this postseason. But the Bruins, they could win the cup. I mean, they are more than qualified to win the cup. And that would give Boston 3 of the 4. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. It's still pretty good.
You know, I was just wondering with the Celtics after game one, were we drinking green Kool-Aid?
We were. I was. I thought the Celtics, look, so I knew Giannis would make some adjustments. They would make adjustments for Giannis, but I thought Boston's defense was spectacular. I mean, the way they had it down, so not only Giannis got bottled up, they had it to a point where he couldn't even really get it to somebody else to sort of get some outside help. And then even in the first half of game two, Boston was still pursuing that kind of defensive intensity. And after that, it was it. Like after the first half of game two, Milwaukee's got this team figured out.
They're ruining the quad.
They are because the other three are great. The other three have their own share of drama and storylines. Look, Milwaukee, I'll give you an example. Houston and Golden State, it's been defined, and I hate to say it like this, but it's been defined by a lot of sloppy play, right? I mean, game three isn't as much on the Rockets as it is Steph Curry was abysmal, right? The Rockets played good in game four, but, you know, Klay and Steph can't hit an outside shot to save their life. Games one and two, it was all about officiating, and am I going to get the calls? Can Harden go to the line? I mean, it's just all of that kind of stuff. Now, Denver and Portland has really been defined by just two really good teams that just match up really well and just playing a really good series. They had the four overtime games. They took the day off, played a really good game on Sunday in game four that was not a clunker, that was not a dud. It was an outstanding game. It was an outstandingly played game. And the Raptors in Philadelphia, we're watching Joel Embiid's ebb and flow, right, up and down. Wait, he's sick, he's not feeling that good, or when he's feeling fine, he plays great and they win. So there's three series that have just been great, and then Boston and Milwaukee. Once the Bucks figured this out, forget it. It's lights out, Celtics.
That was kind of a bummer.
Well, I am bummed.
I was hoping yesterday, I was, you know, figuring the two games we were playing that played yesterday, I was hoping all the series would be tied 2-2.
I thought Boston was going to win game four.
Yeah.
I really did. I thought Boston would win game four. I didn't think it would be easy, but I thought that they would win game four because what was at stake is too much. They cannot, like the Rockets at home at the Toyota Center, you cannot leave there down 3-1. You ain't going to win the series. So the Rockets had to win game four. And it's likewise the same thing with Boston. I mean, you've got to win game four. You've got to tie that thing up at 2. Even though Milwaukee has home court advantage, you've got to tie it up at 2. And now it's 3-1, and Milwaukee's got one win in the next three games to polish this team off.
Yeah, and you just don't see the Celtics being able to pull this out.
No.
And that's the problem now, because, I mean, Milwaukee, all they need is one.
That's right.
I mean, they can drop the next one, and they're not sweating.
And Kyrie's been terrible. He's been playing bad.
He's out of there.
He doesn't. Yeah, he's done.
He's done.
Now, likewise, Kevin Durant, right? He's been linked to the Knicks, possibly maybe the Clippers, right? Like, he wants a max deal. It's hard for Golden State to give him a max deal. But as I was pointing this out yesterday, it's getting clear to me that the Warriors are becoming Kevin Durant's team, where he is the center, of the play. But it's always going to be Steph Curry's team for as long as he's going to be there. Would Kevin Durant, could they make a deal to keep Durant, and would Durant be interested in staying on a Warriors team where he is now the alpha, where he's the guy, not just complimenting or adding his talent to an already talented basketball team in whatever capacity that means, but actually being the centerpiece of more championships down the road? Now, the numbers indicate no, right? Because he wants to get a supermax deal that, you know, he can now get on the free agent market from a team like the Knicks, possibly from the Clippers. But if the Warriors want, and the Warriors aren't going to want to pay the huge luxury tax that would involve to keep everybody. I mean, Klay Thompson's up as well. And they're more prone to keep Thompson at a lower value than they are trying to, you know, keep Durant at the max value. But it is interesting. I mean, Durant, he has emerged as the main cog in the wheel now for a Warriors team that's got a lot of those people. I mean, he's getting his 30-plus a night.
No, but it almost feels like...
And he's
like,
played better than anybody else in the playoffs.
Yeah, but it feels... I mean, the weird thing is it feels like... You know, you were hinting towards it that they are just so dependent on Durant having a good game.
If Durant doesn't have a good game, they're getting blown out.
Yeah, they're getting. Yeah. I mean, it's not even close. And it's just so bizarre. I mean, you have Steph Curry. I mean, reigning. What's it? Unanimous MVP, right?
Yep.
I mean, unanimous MVP, and he's not even. He's playing like he's just fresh out of college, or that his best days are already behind him.
Yeah, I mean, he's really right now. He's struggling, and that's you can sell. I don't know if it's the finger or not. He says no, but I mean, it's hard for me to not think that has some effect. He can't hit outside shots.
No, it'll be the finger once the series is over.
Yeah, and if he can't hit outside shots.
You know, it was my finger the entire time.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably going to be true. But yeah, my finger probably hurt more than I was letting on. So, you know, but listen, he's playing. Durant is playing so good, and this team is so talented that there's no guarantee Durant goes to the Knicks and they win championships, or goes to the Knicks and, you know, they get other free agents around him. No guarantee the Knicks even get Zion Williamson or anything along those lines. But KD, when he leaves the Warriors, which again is more likely than him staying, I will say that my initial thought on him going to Golden State and what he would be was wrong. He ended up becoming not only an important piece. I always knew he was going to be an important piece to their success in their back-to-back championships. But this year especially, he's now become the center point of that team. He's become the main weapon on that team. Because they give him the ball, and now instead of working it, they're just giving him the ball, and he does whatever he's doing, right? I mean, he's just that's something I didn't think that team that was already excellent before they got him. I thought he was just going to be a talented guy added on to a talented team. Now he's become the centerpiece. Is that more attractive to try to stay? No, because in the end, you know, the max deals are the max deals. He's got to get one. He's got to go get one. This was great to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to win a championship. It wasn't coming in Oklahoma City. He didn't like playing with Russell Westbrook. He got what he wanted. He wanted out, and he wanted to play for a championship contending team, and he went right to a championship team. Forget contending. He wanted to go right to a championship team. But he got his championships, and now it's time to go make the max dollar somewhere else. And if he goes to the Knicks, and anybody who knows New York basketball, Knicks basketball especially, the city of New York is a basketball crazy, crazy center. And they're Knicks fans that still, you know, that place still sells out and they're terrible. But when they were good, when they were really good, going to the finals in 85, I think they went to the finals again in 99, strike shortened year, where they lost to San Antonio. In the 90s, when they had Pat Riley and they were going to the playoffs, and Jeff Van Gundy, and they were going to the playoffs. That city was on fire for the Knicks. They've always been on fire for the Knicks. They're not apathetic about basketball when it's dead. They're angry. They're upset. They want Adam Silver to rig the draft so Zion Williamson can get there. They're a passionate, passionate fan base. And the city, it would be on fire if Kevin Durant got there, because it would be great to see Knicks basketball back. Back in the postseason, back into a level of prominence. They thought they were getting that with Carmelo, and he got into the playoffs a couple of times, but Melo just never turned the team into something championship-worthy. And I think Durant knows that. I think Durant senses that. He knows that city would just, with him being there and the possibility of landing a Zion Williamson, let's say, and maybe another free agent, I think that's too enticing. But right now, what he's done with Golden State and what he's doing with Golden State now, again, he has become the centerpiece of the Warriors. He could become the alpha on a team filled with alphas if he were to stay at Golden State. Just the numbers don't make sense. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Lon Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio on SB Nation AM. It's Tony D and Ron Culver. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and that is Ron with two N's. So, listen, when you need energy, you take an energy drink. But now you can do the same thing for sleep with Somm Sleep. Just drink a small can before you're ready to go to bed and use the code RADIO for 15% off your first purchase of Somm Sleep. Sleep online at GetSomm.com. That's GetSomm.com. If you're ready to go to sleep and you need help, because you got to get that sleep to get the, you know, rejuvenation and get your body all back to normal, go to Somm Sleep. Try it and you'll sleep much, much better. Go to GetSomm.com. That's GetSomm.com. All right, so we're talking a little bit about the NBA playoffs. Let's get to some football because the XFL, I don't know if you saw this bit of news, is now going to be on ABC and Fox.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to work. And but FS1 and ESPN.
Yes, on FS1 and ESPN. But the big one is going to be on the big over-the-air TVs on ABC and Fox. I mean, that's the big deal. Yeah, but now from what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing is that there's not going to be a rights fees that are going to be for either one. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I have to say that would bother me if I was thinking about the long-term future of the XFL. Don't you have to start figuring out how you're going to make some money off the broadcasts? This is a very expensive endeavor, and don't go down the road of the WWE has lots of money. No. These companies don't put a bunch of money. They don't put good money after bad. Like, Vince McMahon's not going to lose everything for this league. He already did this once before, and he got out of that as quickly as he possibly could. So you have to start figuring out how to bring in some revenue. Otherwise, you're just going to go the way of the AAF, and and there's no reason to get excited about this league. And I want to be excited about this league. There's no question. But I can't be excited about it if I feel like it's just going to be another one of those things where it's going to be, well, there's no money. What do you want?
See, I can't help but shake the feeling that, you know, that it's going to go the same route as the darling of spring football, you know, that we just had.
Yeah,
I think
right.
I think the main difference will be is that when the XFL folds, they will pay out their players and allow them to travel home comfortably.
Yeah, that may be so. And you hope like, there is.
Yeah, we're done.
But, you know, listen, I mean, we always get confused when billionaires are behind something and we just think there's just this cascade of money that will just keep pouring in. But that's not how it works. That's not how things get afloat. When you put a business together, you don't take money from other businesses and then try to keep others afloat unless you really, really feel confident. There's going to be a read on this early. I think there's an appetite for it. There just doesn't seem to be. You got to give it time. The AAF didn't succeed for whatever reason, whether it was Tom Condon was trying to get the technology for a gambling app, or maybe they were just hemorrhaging money and in the end realized how bad it was. You know, when I was my first year in minor league basketball, when I went for the interview and I was leaving a radio station, I was working at CBS Radio at the time in Las Vegas, and I left that to go work for a minor league team because one of the things I wanted to get involved in was I wanted to work in broadcasting for a team. Like, I thought one of my career pursuits was going to be working eventually on a pro level and in the broadcasting department an in-house broadcasting department of a team. And I wanted to kind of do that. And I got the chance to do that in Las Vegas. But one of the things that they sold me on was that the league that they were in was funded for 5 years, that they had enough money in the bank for 5 years. The league lasted a year and a half. That's how quick that 5-year plan went downhill. It went bye bye. I mean, it was gone. It was gone quickly. They didn't anticipate a lot of costs. They didn't do their research. Now the good news for the XFL is McMahon's already gone down this once before. Right. So if he's got his numbers people from back then, they'll tell him this is where we failed. We didn't anticipate this. We didn't anticipate that. We didn't anticipate the cost of this. right? So he's got a second chance to sort of go, yeah, you know, the second time around, I'm smarter with this. I'm not going to rely so much, so heavily on the TV aspect of it, which is where he put all of his bread and butter. And maybe there's some, maybe there's a different plan in place for the success of this the second time. Like, remember the first year the XFL was 2001. The first game did great out of the gates. It was a rating success, but it just didn't have any viability. It didn't sustain itself. And that became a problem. So in that regard, it became too much of a television product. He was relying too heavily on ratings on NBC. And when it didn't come to fruition, when the ratings were declining and declining rapidly week in and week out, that was a reason to just hit the eject button. I think in this case, I think he's being more cautious. Look, don't give us any rights fees. Let us build some advertising. We know how to do that. We do that particularly well. Let us build that up. Just broadcast our games for exposure, and then we'll figure out the finances on this end. But without some sort of bed of money that's coming in from television, I don't know where he's going to get the rest of the money for this.
Yeah, because I mean, it's although we know that the WWE is just printing cash.
Yeah, but you can't take the money from that because the WWE has stockholders.
That's not how businesses work. You don't
right.
You don't just open one business to fund another one.
Yeah, now, like maybe, if I'm a stockholder in the WWE and my stock declines because they put $50 million into a fledgling football league, I'd be angry.
Yeah, now I can see them using that in the interim, or even if they got into trouble. Like when the AAF gets in trouble, it's like, oh, the WWE can float the loan. Instead of going to an outside investor.
Oh, now that's right. That's something they can do without. Yeah, that's something they can do.
Yep. I hope they're not banking on the fact that we'll just make up the money in ticket and jersey sales.
Yeah, that's right. It's not going
to
work.
You're not going to get close to it.
What else can you? How else can this league make the kind of money it needs? I mean, we're not talking about even player salaries. It's in as much as you have to rent out an entire plane when you travel. As a football team, like the funny thing was when I was traveling with the basketball teams, we would travel 10 guys, the coaching, like a trainer, guys would argue about, who could get the window seats cause they were so big. But the other part was we would be traveling and you would take the cheapest flight you could get from point A to point B. And sometimes that would be like double stop, right? So if you wanted to go to Detroit, instead of like going straight to Detroit, you'd stop off in Kansas City, change a plane, then go to Indianapolis, change a plane, and then go on to Detroit. You'd take the cheapest flight you possibly could. With a football team, you have to charter a whole plane. Like you have 50 something guys, you have trainers, you have equipment guys, you have coaches, you got to rent out a whole plane. So I don't know. It's just very expensive. But if they aren't getting a couple of million dollars from these television networks, I don't know how they're going to make it. But there is an appetite. Do we agree that there is an appetite for this? Didn't it feel disappointing that the AAF was gone?
Yes. I think there is an appetite, but at the same time, I think there's. I just don't think spring football needs to try so hard to become something. It's just let it happen naturally.
And I think the other problem is I don't think the people who get involved in these things, and Vince McMahon, and listen, Vince McMahon might be the exception because Vince McMahon knows what his father did in terms of promotion, how he built the WWF and now WWE. These leagues, and I think this was the problem in minor league basketball, is while the NBA and the NFL and the NHL and Major League Baseball, while they set the table for appetite for sports, the problem is that they set the table for appetite for their product. That's the thing, right? And that took forever to get to. Right? The famous story of David Stern taking over a league in the 70s, that was mired in cocaine and mired in tape delayed finals on television. I mean, the NBA was a bad league. The 70s weren't a good time for the league. And the 80s were a great time for the league. Once Magic and Bird got in the league, they were able to capitalize that on Lakers-Celtics and capitalize on that. That took some growth. That took some growing pains. That took some contraction. That took some a competition from the ABA to sort of sort that out. The NFL had its... A lot of people don't remember when the NFL wasn't king in this country. There were times where the NFL wasn't king. There was they had labor strikes. They had a strike that almost canceled the whole season in 1982. Right? They were dealing with their own drug issues. They were dealing with their own problems. You have to go through really bad times where people are not, they don't appreciate your product or they don't understand your product or the product's growing. The NFL is now a juggernaut because it went through growing pains, because it went through some tough times, because it sorted itself out. It got a very owner-friendly labor deal with the players. They worked a salary cap into it. Baseball has had its moments, too, where strikes ruined seasons and canceled World Series. And what's going to take to get people back to the ballpark? Well, then Cal Ripken breaks the streak. And then all of a sudden, the home run derby between Sosa and McGuire lights up newsrooms across America. They have to go through these growing pains. These up-and-coming leagues see the money. They see, oh, if I just get a little piece of that pie, right, then I'm going to be good. But you don't realize that the whole pie belongs to those leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine like the AAF sat there, you know, in a boardroom going, God, you know, the NFL, they just profited $9 billion. Like, we don't even need to make that. If we just maybe under $1 billion, this league would be fine. We'd be able to survive. And I think there's so many more things that they obviously didn't plan for.
That's exactly right.
And we know that Vince McMahon knows business. I mean, he built an empire out of a soap opera.
Let me tell you, man, there's nobody I trust more to be able to work out this a second time around than Vince McMahon. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Vince McMahon because he gets it, man. He gets it. Like I said earlier, when you listen, some of the owners in the leagues I was working in, they were naive. They looked at it and said, if we could just get a small piece of that pie. McMahon, I think, realizes, look, you got to work for that. Like, you got to work for that pie. Lord knows I know that. I mean, I remember building this thing up. I remember my dad doing this. I remember me doing this when we weren't a global phenomenon, when we were very regional and we had to pick up more and more regions to, like, he knows all that. Like, his history with that, he knows that, building up a brand and making it what it is today. And so the appetite is there. There is an appetite for some sort of minor league, smaller level football, but still good competitive football when we're not having the NFL. He sees it. So give us a good product. You know, give us a good product and sustain it the best way you can financially. So if we do like it, there's no threat of it disappearing. Because the problem with the AAF was never the football. Everybody who watched it liked the football. They knew what it was. It wasn't NFL-level football, but they liked the football. The football was competitive. The games were pretty good. I know people in Orlando love Steve Spurrier. That was getting kind of a buzz down in Central Florida about the Apollos and what they were doing. But what keeps people from diving in full force, buying season tickets, they don't know if you're going to be around. They don't know if they're ever going to get left holding the bag. It's going to be hard to sell the season tickets to this. It really is, because people look at the AAF going, yeah, they canceled their season pretty quick. I'm not going to be a long-term investor. You want me to sign a 3-year sponsorship deal? Well, you're just going to pick up and run. The AAF has already told its creditors, don't bother coming for us. There's no money. So if you signed a 3-year sponsorship deal and you paid it up front and to the AAF, you're not getting your money back. You're going to have to sue them. You have to go through that whole process and probably never get your money. So I hope Vince McMahon's credibility can go through this, because I wouldn't mind seeing this league succeed. All right, 800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, SB Nation AM. By the way, were you a wrestling fan? Are you a wrestling fan from back in the day?
I mean, I was really big back, like when it was Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant,
Iron
Sheik, Junkyard Dog.
Yep.
I was really into it then. And then at some point in college, I don't know how it happened or why it happened, I got really into it again with when it was, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock back in their heyday and Triple H, you know, like when they were younger, when Triple H was younger. I can't believe Triple H is still doing it.
Yeah, well, my RA in college was big into it. We went to the WCW Fall Brawl in Columbia, South Carolina, my freshman year. And I loved it. It was great. Lex Luger. It was the some other ones I couldn't quite remember. I think it was somebody from the Can-Am connection, a Flying Brian or something. I had a great time. I loved it.
I would love to go.
I'd never been to it live, and it was great.
I would love to go to a great live. Time. I just think it would be like. It's just a show. I guess bigger. Yeah. I guess what I'm thinking would be like Ice Capades, but bigger. And I don't know if that's doing it justice. You know, if it was like Disney on Ice.
Yeah, yeah. I remember watching this documentary with Vince McMahon once, and he said that Ted Turner came up to him and he was starting the whatever it was that Ted Turner was starting up, and he said to Vince McMahon. Yeah, WCW says, I'm getting myself into the wrestling business. And Vince McMahon said, well, Ted, I'm in the entertainment business. And I thought that was kind of cool how he just really knew what he was doing. Like, McMahon knew the whole time what he was doing was really just entertain the people. And maybe he'll do that with this football league.